Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, we visit with Mr. Braden Burks, Director of Education for the Kentucky Cattlemen's Association. And as always, we'll wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy the show. Well, hello, everybody.
Hey, Jay.
Hello, Jay.
How are David and Vicki doing today?
We're doing pretty good this morning.
We're up in Hardin County at the Extension office in Elizabethtown. Hardin County Cooperative Extension Service is kind enough to give us a room to record in for the day, and we're kindly making the most of it. We've got two or three we're running through here, and yes, we'll have the rest of this month tapped out before it's all over. So,
yeah, you know, when we come up this way, we usually try to catch two or three folks that we normally don't get to see in our little area down there in western Kentucky. And so it was good to get up here and be able to talk with some of the folks that we're going to get to visit with today.
Good central location. You know, you hear a lot of people talk about Lexington and refer to it as central Kentucky. And geographically, it's a long way from central Kentucky.
It is.
You're a lot closer to the central part of the state right here in Elizabethtown. So we're glad to be here and glad they're kind enough to give us a room to work off of. So.
Absolutely.
And the weather has made a little change.
For the better.
For the better. Well, for some of us think it's for the better.
It's cooler, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been too bad so far, so we'll see how the rest of the month shapes up. But, you know, us changing cooler weather has not been too bad, I will have to say.
I turned the air conditioning off in my house yesterday morning and opened a window or two and maybe a front door to let it breeze through, you know. Nice to be transitioning into a different time of the year. A lot of stuff going on with fall harvest and everything, and it's just part of the year. It's time to progress. Yep. and move on.
That's going pretty good, so we're having a good fall so far, so hopefully that'll continue.
You know, for the most part, it is. The different producers that I've talked to, some of them have been pleasantly surprised about some of their yields. I think a lot of folks are pretty happy with what they have in our area of the state, but you don't have to go too far from our little cluster of three counties before you get into some more dry spots, and it's very spotty this year, just depending on where you were. So I think one thing that a lot of that late planted corn got to escape is it ended up not being 100 degrees at the time when a lot of it was trying to pollinate, and that's helped a lot of it in the end be a little better than what folks had expected. So just another year.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
Got a guest with us today, Mr. Braden Burks. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Good. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where home is and all that, and how you come to work for KCA?
Sure. So I grew up on my family's Angus and Hereford cattle operation in southern Kentucky in Barron County, in Park City area.
Park City.
Grew up there. My first words were moo cow. So ever since I could talk and walk, cattle operation's been a part of me. Started showing goats at a young age, and that sort of progressed into the taller species of cattle eventually. I was a little too short to show cattle to start with because their slobber would drop from point A to point B, and I wasn't a big fan of that. But started with goats, went into cattle, got to be involved in the FFA. My freshman year, my ag teacher, Doug Berry, came in the first day of ag class and challenged us to whoever could recite the FFA creed first would receive $20. Well, I was always up for a good challenge, and to win $20, I was for that. So was able to recite the FFA creed, and after that, I sort of got bit by the FFA bug, got really involved in the FFA Association through high school, got to serve as a state FFA officer my freshman year of college, attended Western Kentucky University, got a degree in agricultural education with a minor in sales, and I knew I wanted to teach other people about agriculture in some way. I didn't know what that looked like 100%, and then found out this job had came open. So I'm pretty blessed to be in a job where I talk about cows and beef all day.
Absolutely.
He dabbled in the pork industry a little bit and showing swine.
Yeah, I did.
I don't want him to like come off like that's the only thing he did, but I mean he dabbled in the pork thing a little bit.
My last couple years of eligibility, I pulled out a hog or two, so that was a fun time.
You know, you might as well tell it on yourself because David's going to you don't. So
Ferquin will find out.
You get first dibs on that.
Whether you like it or not, David Ferquin will find out.
That's right, and I will tell it on you too.
That's right.
If it suits me.
I still remember as a kid, old Ferquin pulling us around, go look at hogs. So
yeah, that's right. I've known his family for a long, long time, and good, really good folks. His dad, a really good friend of mine, and we don't see each other very much and don't talk to each other very much, but when we do talk to each other, it's just like we picked up and rolled on just like we always did. So good folks and good family. Despite his genetics, he has turned out very well. And we're certainly appreciative of that, that Braden has turned out so good.
Well,
I was just going to say Park City and then Barron County in general. If there's an agriculture county in this state, and we've got a lot of great agriculture counties in this state, but Barron County is one of them. I've been in and around there a lot throughout my life. My wife's family actually had a dairy in Barron County years and years ago. They were down in the Mount Hermon area, south part of the county.
I think Barron County is still the first cattle, ranks first in the amount of cattle production in the state, too. So I live in Nicholasville now, but I still have some roots there in Barron County. So
there you go.
Good deal.
Well, you mentioned FFA and your involvement in FFA as a freshman and then, you know, moving on up in the leadership role at the state level. One of the things that we notice, we talk to several different people in the ag industry, whether it be producers or whether it be whatever facet of agriculture they're in, almost always you can tie back that they got involved in FFA and 4-H too, both of those. And that just speaks highly of that organization and how they start developing the leadership skills at a young age, but not only the leadership skills, but just that that love for agriculture and wanting to continue in that in some form or fashion. And I know we see a lot more students come through FFA now that may not even live on a farm.
Right.
But yet they're so involved in it in high school and they enjoy it so much they go on to college and major in agriculture and then work in the ag industry. And I think it's just a great organization that youth need to get involved in if they can at all. It's a great one to get involved in.
Well, and I think too, you know, I look back from whenever I was in high school, then I had, you know, several friends that I was also involved with in FFA, but there weren't too many people that had that same sort of passion that I did. But I found those people at FFA camp, at convention, at all those different contests and things. So, you know, for a Southern Kentucky kid to find out that I wasn't the only crazy person that loved cattle, loved agriculture, and loved talking about it. It was pretty cool to get to see and meet other people that had that same passion. And I get to work with several people throughout the state now that I met while I was in FFA. So that's also pretty cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Braden, tell us a little bit about what your job responsibilities are and some of the stuff that you and who you work for. I mean, it's kind of a split deal, so kind of talk us through that deal.
So my official title is the Director of Education for the Kentucky Cattlemen's. So I focus on our youth and education programs primarily, but that's sort of split into two different halves. So one of those halves is the Cattlemen's Association. I serve as the Kentucky Junior Cattlemen's Association advisor. We had just had about 800 members in the state this past year, and we're working on some different programs with them. The other side would be the Kentucky Beef Council. So that's utilizing the checkoff funding. If you're not familiar with what the checkoff is, anytime a cow is sold here in Kentucky, $2 of that sale goes to the checkoff program. One of those $2 is the federal dollar. That's split between 50 cents and 50 cents. 50 cents of that goes on to the Cattlemen's Beef Board. They send that to different contractors throughout the country. The other 50 cents stays in state for promotion research purposes primarily. In 2015, there was a resolution that was passed that said that there would be an additional dollar. You know, that dollar is refundable. There were some producers that weren't a big fan of that. So that is a refundable dollar, but that is where most of my funding comes from with our education programs. And so that education looks different across different platforms. Three main areas. One of those is producer education, making sure we're sharing with our producers how their checkoff dollars are being utilized, how we're working to increase the demand for beef. The other is through consumer education, making sure that our consumers are aware of different cooking methods, cooking temperatures, what's the difference between a round roast and a ribeye, understanding how those are different. And then the other is really in youth education. I guess that's where most of my passion lies, is working with our youth. You know, I went to school to become an agricultural teacher, And so being able to work with different youth across the state, something I'm pretty passionate about. So those are sort of the three primary areas within the Beef Council. But the Beef Council is designed to increase the demand for beef. Not necessarily cattle, but for beef. We want to create more beef consumers. And so if we're focusing on those people who are, are middle of the road, they're not sure if they want to buy, one meat versus another, we want to make sure that they're choosing beef and making sure that they know about the truths of the beef industry and a lot of the health benefits that beef actually has, too.
Well, Braden, I know that y'all've got a classroom up at the stockyard there in Lexington. Talk a little bit about that. And,
sure.
And then also talk to us a little bit. Y'all just went on a tour, hasn't been too long ago, and then you got another one coming up. So talk with us about those educational opportunities.
Sure. So the classroom we have is at the yard. It's called the Yards. Yards stands for Youth Advocacy, Research, Demonstration, and Sustainability. That is housed at Bluegrass Marketplace there in Lexington. I always make sure I give that preface. I don't work for Bluegrass, and the funding that is used to put that classroom on, it comes from our Cattlemen's Foundation. But I host free field trips for students there. There may be days where I have, I know there was one week I had 30 animal science FFA groups, 30 students come for that group, and then the next day I had 50 kindergartners from Frankfort. And so you have to be able to share about the beef industry with two polar opposites in 2 days was an interesting a week, to say the least. But being able to host groups there, I also have hosted some teacher professional developments there to help share with our teachers how they can incorporate the beef message in their classrooms. But that's a great opportunity to plug in that general public, that general consumer, and let them get a deep dive, really good insight on what we're actually doing in the beef industry in a really welcoming place.
Mm-hmm.
On that youth education piece, I've done a couple trips. This past summer, we did our youth leadership program, and I was part of different breed associations growing up, and I would always see how they had these different trips and programs to offer to their members, and I thought, we have so many good beef enthusiasts in the state, we need to be able to find a way to get them plugged in to what is all the opportunities available in the beef industry, because there's a lot more than just raising cattle, and I want to make sure that our students are aware of that. And so this summer, I partnered up, I've got some good friends there at the Tennessee Cattlemen's Association, and we took 31 kids total to Certified Angus Beef in Wooster, Ohio, is where we started. And if you've never been to CAB and never seen their programs, they do a phenomenal job of sharing all aspects of the beef industry, how beef is raised. The kids actually got to break down some primal cuts down to retails. They then took those retail cuts and worked with a Certified Angus Beef chef and cooked those for their lunch that day. So that was a really cool opportunity.
Yep.
Us chaperones really liked it too, because we had a professional chef cook us lunch that day. But
nice.
That's besides the point, I guess. From there, we went over to ST Genetics. They got to see some of the big famous artificial insemination bulls that are used, bull studs. We got to go to Stone Farms. He's a big feeds and finishes a lot of cattle. We don't see a lot of that here in Kentucky. So to see those kids... to let those kids know where their calves go eventually once they take them to the stockyards, how those are finished out, that was a really good stop. We went to EB Trailer to see how trailers were manufactured. I never knew all the technologies that go into building a trailer, but that was really, really fascinating. Those kids really enjoyed that stop as well. We had a couple others on and off the bus, but that was a really good trip that we got to take. And we had, I believe there was 19 kids from Kentucky that got to go, and that trip was funded by the Beef Council. So, your beef checkoff dollars are at work to make sure that we have the next generation of beef producers to step in line eventually. So,
well, Braden, those are so important, those trips and getting those kids exposed to, because you don't get a lot of exposure here in Kentucky on some different things like that, like you're talking about. So it's great to see that y'all are providing that opportunity for those kids to get out and to learn something that they're normally not going to see. You know, the bull studs and the making the trailers and the feed yards and those kind of things. We just don't see a lot of that here in Kentucky.
No, and the average herd size in Kentucky today is only 26 head. And so, you know, a lot of our kids that may come from a cattle operation, and a lot of those kids that went on the trip, they don't have cattle at home. Right. But, you know, a lot of them think, oh, I just have, you know, 20-some head of cattle. I don't make that big of a difference. But to show them where those calves eventually go and how those cattle are raised and the importance that just their little cow-calf operation that they might not think is super beneficial and how we need them in our industry. You know, we need those small cow-calf operators in Kentucky because those are the ones that are going to help make sure we have the next supply chain, make sure that our beef industry stays strong. So.
Yeah, you know, it'd be a lot easier to be a stocker calf producer, but cow-calf, it takes some grit to be able to do that through some of the weather that we do have. So, and I know y'all've got another trip coming up planned, and kind of give us a preview maybe of that.
Sure. So whenever I was in high school, I never got to go on this trip. And when I found out I got this position, I was really excited. We get to partner with the University of Nebraska-Lincoln to send some kids out to the Nebraska Youth Beef Leadership Symposium. So we get to take 10 kids out to Nebraska for their conference. But we like to do a little bit more than just go to the conference. We'll go out a few days early, and we'll do some more industry stops. And so this year, I'll get to take 10 kids out to Nebraska. We're actually going to fly into Kansas City and do some tours there in Kansas City, drive up to St. Joe, go up to Hiawatha, Kansas, and then from there up to Lincoln. We're actually going to go up to Omaha and then back down to Lincoln. But we're going to get to go to a packing plant, get to look inside of there. I think we're going to get to go to the American Angus Association, get to see the breed headquarters, Livestock Marketing Association. We're going to get to go to LMA and Diamond M Genetics, Mark Mueller and family there. They raise a lot of purebred Simmental cattle. So we're going to get to do and see a lot of stuff along that route. And then we're going to get to go to the conference. And at that conference, there's some keynote speakers that come in, talk about beef demand. They then break our Kentucky kids and our Nebraska kids up into separate teams, and each team has to create a recipe with an assigned beef cut. I think last year it was top sirloin, flat iron steak, and then ground beef. And they have to create a recipe. They have to showcase where they would market that recipe to, if that was at a restaurant, wherever that might be. They also have to make that beef recipe, and so they actually have to cook it and then present it to a panel of judges in a presentation. And that trip, that conference itself does a phenomenal job of showcasing beef marketing, beef production, and also, you know, cooking beef. And I think, you know, a lot of people get scared of cooking beef today, but really, you know, keeping it simple and being able to know some of the facts that you need to remember when you're cooking beef, it can be pretty simple. So, but we're going to get to take 10 kids. We had 40 applications this year, so our selection committee is going to have a hard time, and I'm super thankful that I do not have to serve on that committee. So,
I would be too. That would be a plus. That is a true farm to table, right there. And when you're going. From being able to go on these farms and the packing plants and all of that, all the way through cuts of meat and preparing it.
Right.
What an educational opportunity that is. I'd like to kind of go on that myself.
Well, I was thinking about as he was going through all the different things they were going to do, that all those different facets of the ag industry that you're exposing those kids to, they see a lot of different opportunities for jobs out there. Outside of just being on the farm.
Exactly, and that's the goal. You know, I think a lot of times the kids can get barn blind, if you will, of this is the only thing I can do to be in the industry. I can only just, I'm going to have to stay here in rural Kentucky and raise cattle, or I'm going to raise crops, and that's it. But there's a whole lot more out there, and we want to showcase that to our kids, make sure that they're aware of all the opportunities that they have to be in the beef industry.
And I think that's great, too, because it kind of goes back to, you know, you used to hear it back to FFA, you know, that it's just, you can only do, you just farming, basically. And there's so much more in the ag industry than just being a farmer. And I'm that myself. I came from a farm family. My dad farmed. My brother now is farming, and I'm not farming, but I'm actively working in agriculture and the same thing in the cattle industry too. There's a lot of opportunities out there for folks that may not have the opportunity or have the farm or be able to do that.
Yeah, and it's these opportunities that Braden is helping with and that the KCA is providing, the Beef Council is providing, those are just opportunities that you would not normally get to go and see and do, and hopefully this will open their eyes to maybe a whole different set of jobs that they may be interested in. So kudos to the folks at KCA for doing that and providing those kids that opportunity for sure.
There is definitely more to see than what's out your back door.
Absolutely.
And any time that you have the opportunity to be able to participate in any kind of programs like that and be able to see the other places and is so beneficial.
Right. And I think, just not just with those trips, but, we're really hoping to get in touch with all people that are involved within the industry to make sure that they know of all the truths that are going on in the beef industry. Mm-hmm. So, we work a lot with our agricultural educators. We have created these magnets that have QR codes that we've given out to, I hope, all the ag teachers by now. I've talked to several of them, and they get annoyed if I ask them if they have a QR code magnet, and they're like, yes, Braden, I've gotten three of those from you now. But
make sure you start using it.
Yeah, make sure you use it. So if they scan that takes them to a Google Drive. We have all of our curriculum resources, all of our graphics, all of our lesson plans that they can utilize within their classrooms to make sure that they are teaching the right information about the beef industry. And we've given those out to our family consumer science teachers as well. I don't think that they get as much love as what they deserve. And so, a lot of them are working on cooking and different types of preparation methods, and we want to make sure that they're incorporating beef in that. And so we're planning on hosting some professional developments with them this next summer.
That's great.
We've also given them magnets, beef posters, so they all had access to those. I went to FCCLA State Convention in February or so, and got to be there and interact with some of their kiddos. But we also are bringing back a Beef in the Classroom grant, both for our ag teachers and our FCS teachers, to make sure that when they utilize beef in their classes, that we can reimburse the cost of that beef back to them. And we'll send you lots of resources, recipes, cuts, charts. I'll give you another QR code magnet if you want one. So just giving them all the tools that they need to be successful in their classrooms, because we'd love to be there with them. I have gone and done some cooking demonstrations in different classrooms, but Kentucky's a big state, and as you all know, coming from real West Kentucky to, I still think Lexington's East Kentucky. I know that's an unpopular opinion, but I'm also from Southern Kentucky.
We share that.
So. Yeah, exactly.
It's okay. You can say it here, Brayden. It's
gotcha.
All right.
But it's hard to be everywhere at once. So if we can do whatever we can do to make sure that you're getting the resources that you need in your classrooms to be successful, we want to make sure that they have access to those.
Well, and all the networking opportunities that you're given both – the industry folks, but also the youth. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is really something that is an excellent thing for everybody. And
It's much needed.
It is needed. And going to where they are, just like the QR codes, that's where we are now.
Right.
That is exactly where we are now, is, to be able to scan that, and then you have everything you need.
Right.
And moving toward that direction and what the easiest way to get that information out and just adapting to those.
And that way we can update that without having to send them another email
Another binder.
Exactly. Yeah. we can update it and not have to send you another email, send you another piece of paper.
You're aging yourself with a binder. We hadn't given out binders in a long time.
We have not. And I cleaned my office out it's been, 4 months ago. I was like, man, I really need to clean the cabinets out in my office. And I started out thinking, well, I'll just take the papers out of the binder, save the binder. I had so many binders. I thought, why on earth do I have some? And why am I saving them? Because nobody uses a binder anymore.
There's very few binders that we've had in the past that I've kept and held on to. One of them I have is the Master Cattleman's binder that we always use.
I kept that.
And mainly I've kept it because I know exactly where to go to find what I'm looking for.
Yes, there was a few I saved, but... Yeah, I like the QR code much better.
Awesome.
Worst thing about the binders is they don't update themselves.
Yeah,
right. Like it's so much easier to do with a QR code.
That's right.
Right.
Braden, I know y'all had just coming off of a very successful fall classic there with the Junior Cattlemen's Association. Talk a little bit about the folks you had and kind of how that went.
Yeah, so we just recently held our Kentucky Junior Cattlemen's Fall Classic. We had 150 kids and 180 head of cattle, so that's the most amount of kids that I believe we've had. So that was an awesome turnout. But that event is a cattle show, but we're working to make it a lot more than that. We've designed it to have various contests as well to try to get those kids who may not show involved. So there's a skill-a-thon, there's a judging contest, there's a photography contest, advertising design, sales talk, working to get different pieces of the industry that they would actually utilize as contests, so those kids can come in and compete in those. We have four age divisions, so novice, junior, intermediates, and seniors. But that was a really, really successful weekend. The Junior Cattlemen Board of Directors did a phenomenal job of planning and executing that event. Last night I had some of them over. I told them, I said, I'll have a cookout for you all if it goes successfully. So I had to cook quite a bit of food last night because those college students sure can eat. But that was a great event to have, and yeah. You know, that we're really hitting I believe that show kid in that aspect, and we're working to broaden that reach in that event. I know we had a couple of FFA chapters involved to bring their kids down just to compete in the contests, but we're starting two new programs that I really think are going to broaden our touch and broaden the beef demographic that we have for our kids in our association. One of those is the Kentucky Junior Cattlemen's Association Academy. That's a program that's designed to do a different educational topic every year to teach our kids about a specific content area of the beef industry. This year it's on beef quality care and assurance, as well as cattle working, because in April, I'm excited to announce, we are starting our first ever KJCA cattle working contest. So teams of three are evaluated, not on their speed necessarily, but their efficiency and accuracy in working three head of cattle. When I started this position, I was a member of the Junior Cattlemen's, and we had all the show kids, but that good old country boy or girl that's in rural Kentucky that wants to work cattle with mom and dad and grandpa, we didn't have them plugged in. And that's the demographic of kid I'm targeting in this program. So Dan Miller works in our office. We went to Virginia. They actually do this contest. And it's so big in Virginia, they have five regional contests to qualify for the state contest. Wow. And wow. So I don't know how many teams we're going to have interested this year. That's what our academy is going to be shooting this year to see how many teams we need to prepare for this contest in April. But I'm excited for that program. I really think that we're going to hit a whole new demographic of kid. We're going to get them involved, and I'm excited to see where that program
can
go.
Where will the competition be?
So the academy is going to be actually here at the Hardin County Extension office, but the contest is going to be in April at Western Kentucky at the LD Brown Expo Center.
Nice.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
What kind of hit shoot are we using, Braden?
It's
going to make a difference.
It is going to make a difference. So we haven't decided which type we're getting yet. We know we're going to use a manual of some sort. We want to make it as practical as we can for those kids. You know, they're probably not all the Kentucky beef kids are probably not using big hydraulic chutes. Yeah. So we want to make sure that it's all as practical as possible. But they'll have to do various tasks. So they'll first start filling out a paper exam, where they have to read the drug labels that they're going to be giving. They have to put down what they're giving, how much they're giving, what injection method they're using, what needle syringe size they'd use. They have to mark on a paper cow where they're going to give that injection. From there, they have to complete some math problems where we give them a situation, and they have to say, okay, this is the amount of drug I'd be giving. This is all the necessary things I'm going to have to utilize. If I have to give a booster, when do I give that booster? All very practical information that if they were going to go do it themselves, they'd have to go get that vaccine. Well, how much do I really need? Making sure that they're able to do those things. All that's done before they even go shoot side. Then they go shoot side and they perform those tasks. There's three different judges that are assigned certain roles, and they're checking for to make sure that they're giving the correct things. And if they're about to do something wrong, those judges will stop them beforehand and make sure that they do it correctly. So if you're about to give an intramuscular shot when it's supposed to be sub-Q, they'll stop you and make sure that you do it correctly. So I'm really excited for that program. I was just blown away in Virginia of how they utilize that. I believe Georgia has a program like this. Virginia does. So I'm hoping within the next 5 years we can have a Southeastern National Youth Cattle Working Contest and see lots of kids be involved in that program. So I think that can be pretty cool.
You know, that just really piggybacks off the BQCA that we do every day in our extension offices that we help train with in partnership with KCA and those folks. And so, you know, Braden, that's a great contest. Yeah, I think that'd be really cool.
And those kids have to have their BQCA certification. And so, you know, the academy, those kids will get the opportunity to take that exam and get the cost of that covered. So, but that's going to be for 14 to 19 year olds. So,
I think that's great. I'm excited to hear more about that as it happens. And
yeah, it'd be a really good contest. You know, Braden, you're involved in a lot of – we see you at a lot. We see you at the State Fair. We see you probably North American. We see you at a lot of different activities, Beef Bash and all those kind of things. Talk with us a little bit about your travels and some of the stuff that you actually are supposed to go to and be at.
Yeah, I mean, since I started, and I started in December of 2021, I really don't think I've had 1 week to be the same. And I kind of like that. I've traveled in all kinds of different aspects. If that's taking kids to, like I said, to Ohio for trips or Nebraska. I leave tomorrow to go to Denver for a conference at Partners in Action, the NCBA hosts. Different school groups going and talking to them, State Fair. Anywhere that our consumers are, we want to be present at with the Beef Council. We want to make sure that our consumers know the truth of the industry. Like we had a promotion Beef at the Ballpark with the Louisville Bats, and so we were set up all along the concourse, and I called one of my old college buddies to dress up in the Bert the Burger costume to run out and throw out the first pitch, and so we do lots of different things. Our reach is pretty broad, but we want to make sure that our producers are aware of what we're doing to increase that demand for beef. You know, what is it, less than 1.7% of the United States population are farmers now, and so there's not as many people to share our story. And so while we may not be able to create new farmers, we want to make sure that we're creating beef advocates with all that we're doing. So if that's at State Fair, on the cooking stage, making sure that we're sharing the truths of the beef industry there, whipping up some cool recipes, or we're at a ballpark sharing about the beef messaging, we want to be present and make sure all people are aware of what we're doing within the industry.
Well, let's talk about some truths or dispelling some myths about about the beef industry or about cooking beef. Really, you know, we see a lot of people say, "Oh, that red in the plate there is blood." Talk with us about what that actually is, Braden, and maybe some other myths that you have to talk about.
So that would be an M word called myoglobin. That's what gives beef its red color. About 70% of beef is composed of water. And that water is given a red color by what's called myoglobin. And there's a higher concentration of myoglobin the closer to that shoulder region that you get. And so you'll see a darker cherry red color more oftentimes in like your chuck roast than you would like a round roast, for say. But when you cook those different cuts, you can't really look at color to determine doneness. That's why you need to make sure you have a good meat thermometer at all times. Your steaks and roast need to be cooked to 145 degrees Fahrenheit, and ground beef needs to be cooked to 160 degrees. So let's say you have a steak on the grill and you want to pull that steak off at about 135 to 140 degrees, because it's going to carry over while you let it rest for about 5 to 10 minutes. Because if you cut into that steak, as soon as you pull it off the grill, you're going to lose a lot of juice and flavor. And I don't like a steak that doesn't have a lot of flavor, so make sure you make your steak rest.
It'll tighten up on you, too. I mean, first time, you want to let it rest just a little while so it can give it that moisture time to redistribute throughout the steak.
Absolutely, absolutely. But ground beef is 160 degrees, so if somebody asks how I like my burger cooked, I typically say medium well. If I say medium, it may not be done enough, and if I say well done, I might get a hockey puck for a burger, and I don't like hockey pucks for burgers, so...
I think you're exactly right. And, you know, I think a lot of our bad experiences that folks have with different types of meat, and it's not just limited to beef, obviously, but is the amount of time that they are cooked.
Right.
A lot of time it is overdone. You know, I tell people, like cooking pork chops, for instance, you know, they say, well, it's always so tough and so done. And I say, well, as soon as a pork chop turns white, take it off.
Sure.
You know, and if you're putting it in a cooler, take it off before that because it continues to cook. The thing that people don't understand is when you put it in that cooler with a bunch of other meat that's steaming, it continues to cook in there. So, and same way with ribeyes and with steak products as well, you know, when you're doing any of that, it will continue to cook. So it continues to get dunner and dunner over a period of time.
Right. So you want to pull it off 5 to 10 degrees before your target temperature. You know, and if you like your beef more done than others, you know, just play that accordingly. So if you want it to be a medium well, you need to pull it off 5 to 10 degrees before that 155 degree point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I always feel like that after you get past medium, it's not much left up there.
Right.
You know, it's not much flavor left. Yeah. And
I'm a medium rare kind of guy. So, you know, I cooked some steaks for the kids last night, and that's one of the cool parts about my job is I've learned a lot of different cooking methods. And the one I've been stuck on lately is doing a reverse sear. I've got a pellet smoker at home. Well, I actually have two grills. Some people may look at me funny for having two grills, but whatever. So pellet smoker, I'll put my steak on the grill. I have a thermometer that I'll put in, and I'll smoke that steak. I'll season it. You can use your own special steak rub if you like. Salt, pepper, garlic powder are three. I think you can use that no matter what and have a pretty good turnout. I'll smoke that steak until it reaches 115 to 120 degrees, and then once it gets to that point, I'll crank up my gas grill. Make it as hot as it'll go, and I'll sear both sides. And once that steak reaches 130 to 135 degrees, I'm pulling that steak off. And it turns out really, really good. Super super juicy, super tender, and has a little smoky taste too.
Nice.
Reverse sears probably made good cooks out of a lot of people with steaks.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I learned from that FFA program during our parliamentary procedure practices was the KISS method. I don't know if you're familiar with the KISS method, the keep it simple, stupid. So
that's right.
You know, if we can keep those things simple, you know, you'll have good returns.
Yep. You know, this is a little fun fact about Braden. I was kind of leaving this towards the end to bring out, but
who knows where this is going.
At Western, they have a mascot, Big Red. And if I'm not mistaken, you were not.
I was not Big Red.
Your mom was.
Mom was Big Red in college.
Yeah,
but
okay.
In high school, I was the school mascot.
I knew
that
it
may
was
be
something.
What you were thinking.
I knew it was something. So.
Yeah, I was the Barron County Trojan in high school. So
yeah,
I didn't get to do any cool flips or anything. But
my coworker Wade Raymer he's our 4-H agent in Webster County, and he was Big Red when he was there.
That's cool.
Yeah, he was a mascot there, and he right after he started, he had applied for some kind of a mascot award, and with you know like the NCAA and all of that, and he right after he started, he went on a trip, and I can't remember how it all came out, but it was pretty cool that he got to do that and be a part of that. So
high school, I was a 2-time All-American mascot. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I didn't know that was a thing either.
That's pretty cool.
But that was pretty neat. So,
yeah.
Does your dad have that pasted up on the wall somewhere?
No.
Do you have a picture or anything?
No, I don't know. I don't know if he's the proudest of my mascot moments, but that's okay. So,
hey, it gave you character.
That's right. That's right.
Well, you know, Brayton, tell us a little bit, you know, y'all's family operation. Tell us a little bit about what y'all actually have there at home.
Sure.
I know you're Scotty and of course, your dad, Scott, and your uncle. They have some stuff going on there. So talk with us a little bit about that.
Sure. And I can't always keep up with what they're doing at home because every time I go home, it's like we've sold something else. So, but Papaw bought his first Hereford cattle in 1963. From there, so we started with Herefords. That was Hereford Valley Farm. My papa Lee Royce Burke started. Then when my dad and uncle got more involved, they bought some Angus cows. And over time, we sort of had more Angus than we have Herefords. We've not gotten rid of the Herefords for a particular reason. We just seem to we can sell bulls better for the Angus market. But we focus on seed stock operations, so we're selling bulls to those commercial producers within our area. We're selling replacement purebred females as well, and we'll sell a few show prospects throughout the year too. So, you know, my cousins, Kelby and Sheldon, I showed cattle, and so we like to be a part of those junior programs, and so we have some of those few show prospects that we'll sell as well.
Yeah, and do a fantastic job fitting cattle and getting them ready. Scotty does, and you know, it's I've been around him a lot. Sure. And he and I have had some good times. And we actually went to Mississippi one time and helped some folks down there. And I think that was something that he and Eddie did a lot of. But right. I just got to go a time or two. But very interesting folks down there, the McKellar.
Walt and Jill McKellar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And really nice folks. And we had the opportunity to do that. So I've traveled a little bit with Braden and around, and we've gotten into some pig stuff. And his uncle Terry, and his not uncle, his cousin Terry Burks, who is going to be on this program soon, is probably one of the premier livestock judges in the country. So he comes from Braden comes from a long line of folks that really know livestock, and you know, we're appreciative of him being here in Kentucky and helping our junior cattle folks in that industry for sure.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Is it time for our timely tip?
I think we got a few minutes if there's anything else you want to cover.
Braden, you got anything else you need to talk about, or you got anything else coming on with even with the Cattlemen's Association? Talk with us a little bit about the convention.
Yeah,
convention. So, tell us when all that is and everything.
Convention will be the first part of January. We'll have some different speakers lined up there at our beef efficiency conference, and so we'd invite all of our KCA members to come there and join us for convention. We just met with the junior board last night. We're planning on some new junior programs there, so that'll be first part of January. If you've not registered for that, I believe registration's opening soon, so visit kycattle.org. We just recently updated our website too, so if you haven't looked at that, feel free to go online there and look through those programs. Another program we have that'll close October 31st is we partner with Farm Credit Mid-America for our Youth Beef Heifer Initiative. And so we have three age divisions for there. Kids can fill out their application. They rather complete an essay or they do a video that they can submit talking about how they'd utilize that funding. So we give away $2,000 for those kids to buy an animal, to buy a heifer of some sorts. And so that's a really cool program Farm Credit Mid-America puts on. So if you're interested in that, kycattle.org has that application there. We have some scholarship opportunities as well. So we're really hoping to get all of our kids involved in that capacity, but as well as for our members and making sure that those services are met for them.
Yeah, you know, that Beef Efficiency Conference is a very good conference to go to, and I encourage folks that are in the cattle industry to sure enough go and be a part of that. And you know, there's y'all induct some folks into the KCA Hall of Fame and some different things like that that are coming up as well. So should be a really good conference. And you know, I forget I was trying to think of the guy that was there last year at the Beef Efficiency Conference that was from Missouri, geneticist, really smart guy.
He talked about the hair EPD, I believe, didn't he?
Yeah, something I can't remember exactly, but super smart guy and really kind of got down on the level that you could really understand what he was talking about.
Yeah, and you know, that's sort of the goal, is trying to bring in those outside people to share with our producers, you know, some of the simple things within the industry that they can do and focus on to better their operations. So I think with that hair shedding EPD, you know, with the fescue we have in Kentucky that we're blessed and cursed with at the same time, depending how you look at it, you know, making sure that they're looking at those tools that we have out there to be successful in their operations. So, but convention's January 11th and 12th. And
is
so
it in Lexington?
It's in Lexington this year. Yeah, so definitely go online and get registered for that conference. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, and they have a big trade show up there as well, and you get to see a lot of the new products that, you know, folks come out with in the beef industry. So you know, this is a great opportunity for folks to get out and see a lot of that stuff and hear a lot of good information, and it's a great way to educate yourself. And we appreciate KCA for providing that opportunity for sure.
Awesome.
And if you haven't joined, if you're not a member of your the state or your local Cattlemen's Association, I know they would be glad for you to join.
Absolutely.
So make sure you check into that. Those dues are not very expensive, but they go a long way. It's they do a lot of work with those dollars, and for junior members as well. You can those folks can be members as well. I think for like $10 or something.
Junior dues are about $10.
Yeah, it's, you know, I know my kids are have been members, and one of them is aged out now, but just paid her, my youngest one's due. So, I mean, and that is good. Those funds help do a lot of these programs that you're doing, and so encourage folks to, if you're not a member, to really consider joining and supporting that organization.
And we just hit our highest mark ever in membership of 11,000 members.
Wow.
So we're hoping to keep pushing that number and keep growing.
Who's the number one county in the state right now?
I believe it was Barron County. I still think that they were number one. If
I've
I remember
seen that
right.
Go back and forth.
Shelby
at different Shelby, times.
Shelby,
Christian
Barron.
County.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Good information. Well, you know, we always like to wrap the show up with a timely tip, and something you touched on earlier is something to remind consumers is those proper temperatures whenever they're cooking beef. It's a different temperature for anything processed versus a straight cut. So won't you remind folks one more time about what those are?
Steaks and roast, 145 degrees. Ground beef is 160 degrees. You want to pull them off the grill once they get to 5 to 10 degrees before your targeted degree of doneness.
Give them time to rest, and they'll keep on cooking and finish up those final couple of
temperatures. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah, and if you're unsure about any of that, get a thermometer.
Yeah,
absolutely. A meat thermometer doesn't cost very much. Oh, no. And they've got these that you can stick in while the meat's on the grill, and you can run the little deal outside. Or
you know, personally, I've got several. You can get them at most extension offices. A lot of extension offices have those snap samples that they give out, and they're plenty serviceable for the job that you're doing. You can get more technical. I've got a digital one with an alarm on it that I can, when I've got something on the smoker, I can walk off and do other things, and it'll remind me. Actually, Bluetooth to my phone.
Yeah, mine does too.
I can go around, the property and do different things. So
be sure to use those.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, if you're unsure about how to cook it, or if you're kind of a novice cook to the cooking scene, why be sure to use those. I mean, that's the best way to have a very good, successful cook and have a very good experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And looking at those different cuts of meat and then knowing the best way to prepare those cuts, because not every cut can be prepared the same way. And you can go to your all's website, I'm sure.
Yes, kybeef.com.
And have all kinds of information on different cuts and how to best prepare them to have the best experience.
Because those muscles of locomotion are going to be less tender than your others. That's why filet mignon is typically more expensive than an eye of round steak, right? Because those muscles from that loin region where the filet comes from aren't utilized as much as that eye of round is.
Yeah, we'll try to get that. I'll get that from Braden here before he leaves and try to get that in our show notes. And you'll be able to click on that link and go right to y'all's website.
That'd be super. Absolutely. Thank y'all for having me. This has been fun.
We appreciate you being here, and we need to do it again. We go to Lexington from time to time and set up like multiple speakers that we'll hit over the course of a day. David, I don't think, has looked at his phone yet, but I texted both of them a minute ago and said, we need to make sure and remember you when we're coming to Lexington, kind of catch you while you're in that home area.
Yeah, that'd be great, and I might be able to pull a couple board members in and get to talk to them about their background. And a lot of them have gone on the trips. I know one, Whitney Peck from Caldwell County back in your all's area. She went on our youth leadership program 2 years ago and got so eaten up with it, went to the Nebraska trip, and then she started a junior cattleman's program there in Caldwell, Lyon County. She's serving as the president there too, but she's a freshman at UK, and proud of Whitney from how she started in those trips to starting her own junior program back
That's
home.
Awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. Well, we appreciate you being here. We want to say a special thanks to Braden for this week's information, and thanks to our listeners for joining in. We hope you've enjoyed our show, and we'll make plans to join us again next week for our next episode. And until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.